In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This is 2 days in a row, another gorgeous day here in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, Oregon. Just came back from my walk. I try to either go to the gym or do a 5 mile walk the days that I'm home. And so it was such a gorgeous day outside. I went for a walk again, and just absolutely beautiful, boy. It's just so nice. Because this ain't gonna last. if you live out in this area, you know what I mean. So this is, you're gonna, you know, just enjoy these days. And thank the Lord for the beautiful weather. Well, today on Beacon of Truth, we're returning to a very popular theme, loved ones away from the church, right? And, we're approaching the holidays or the holy days season. And, of course, Thanksgiving is not too far away. People already made their travel plans, already have the menus already planned out. And, you know, there's some people thinking, oh, boy, how are we going to navigate this, you know, with your son or daughter or relative, loved one, really close friend who's away from the faith? And you know you want to bring it up, but you don't, what do I say? I don't want to push them away, but yet I feel I have to say something. And, you know, if I don't say something, then I'm just, you know, keeping my mouth shut and not proclaiming the word. And, you know, and I don't want to hold back because I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to witness to my faith, but I don't want to put them off. And all these things are swimming through your head as you're planning on how to navigate all this with your friends and relatives. So we want to talk about this today. Love was away from the church. This is a very painful touch point for a lot of people. As I travel, as you know, quite extensively, and this easily is the number one issue that comes up when I in Q&A sessions and talking with people. You know, how do you wrap your head and get around this issue? We had someone on YouTube yesterday chime in about their dad who's away from the church. He said, I try to talk to him, but nothing seems to be working. So we'll talk about that today. Loved ones away from the church today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Or you can always send us an email, beacon@EWTN.com. Or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And on this really wonderful, gorgeous day, the day that the Lord has made, you know, I just want to, I'm grateful. I'm already, Thanksgiving's around the corner, but I'm always thankful each and every day for the gift of my life, for the gift of our Catholic faith, and for the gifted people who help bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Charles Beery doing social media, Matt Kabinski screening calls, and the one and only, you know, the master of the Krispy Kreme stroll, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for bringing that up, because as if I didn't already have a craving, then you just add to it. That is my downfall. Sweets is like, and my wife will tell you, like, normally, especially the closer we get to the holidays, because I'm thinking of pies and all the desserts and all the things, you know, just sweet drinks. Like, I think today is the first day of the holiday drinks at Starbucks. Like, it's just, it's everywhere. I'm like, there's sugar galore. I can't stop myself. So I just don't go. Just go. I'm going to drink my water. I'm good.
So do you, when you prepare Thanksgiving, do you actually bake too, or do you just do the main meal?
Some stuff. I mean, most of the desserts that I do outside of a coffee cake, everything else is like a pretty, like it's a mix and then chill or put in the freezer. Like there's not a lot of baking involved. So I do the coffee cake, which obviously you have to bake. Everything else is just kind of a quick little stir, pour it into a crust, let it get cold, and then it's ready for the meal.
Ah, okay. Like a cream pie or Jell-O or pudding or something like that.
The big thing, everyone comes back to my house, and I'm convinced that if it's not my company or my music selections, it is this one dessert. But I've been doing it for over 2 decades now. But I call it Oreo Surprise, which is a tub of Cool Whip, a bag of crushed up Oreos, and then a half a carton of vanilla ice cream. And you just mix it. Mm. Freeze it, and then you can either eat it like ice cream, or like I like to do is make it in a pie, and then only gives you an excuse to put more Cool Whip on it. So that's kind of the
But there's your invention?
It's not mine. It's passed down from somewhere. So either my mom passed it on to me, or like I got it from like a church group, you know, because growing up Southern Baptist, like they know how to eat, right? So there's some little Southern, you know, tradition that got embedded into me with this, and I've just been making it ever since.
Well, you know, food can be kind of a lure, mm-hmm. you know, to bring people together. So, you know, we're talking today about loved ones away from the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's not only like, oh, what's the conversation going to be like when this person gets here, but how do we even get them to come here?
Sure. Because
some people may not even want to come. But the lure is, oh, I can't miss mom's, you know, Oreo surprise, or I can't miss, you know, dad's this, or I can't miss, you know. So it's the food, in a sense, that attracts them.
Yeah.
That, you know, because they, or even the memories of what it's like being together around the food and all that kind of stuff. And that's what draws them in. And, you know, kind of like people who don't go to Mass except for Christmas and Easter, you know, they remember the tree and the incense and the atmosphere creates something in their hearts that created this wonderful memory. But for us as Catholics, you know, we take a page out of our Jewish brothers and sisters book when it comes to memory. You know, zacher in Hebrew means that memory is something that's alive.
Yeah,
it's a living thing. You know, so memories, it just doesn't mean remember the past. It means the graces and the blessings of a past event are made real and present now, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where we get our, in a sense, the theology of the Eucharist, right? The one sacrifice of Christ is made real and present on the altar at every Mass. And in a parallel sense, but in kind of a similar sense, is that same kind of memory, that living memory of what it was like during the holiday. Just this holiday season, the sense of home, you know, the sense of comfort, the sense of peace.
Yeah.
And in people's very busy, hectic lives, that's something that's very attractive. So that could be a lure to get people to come home.
Well, and I know a lot of, you know, being a part of church small groups over the years, I've got friends who have started small groups that revolve around like music or sports or whatever. And so the lure is the thing. So they're all coming over to listen to the new whatever album or to watch the Lions game or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then somewhere in there, whether it's during halftime or between side A and side B, you might have some kind of discussion, or while the music's playing, it might open up a opportunity of faith. So those kinds of things, you know, we feel like we have to be these heavy theologians in order to be able to have people over to talk about God. But we all have our own experiences within His Word into our own lives. So just invite them over with the thing you're passionate about, and then God will take care of the rest, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, even in a sense, you know, some of the things we do on this show could act as a catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, to draw people in, like the Soulful Psalm segment, you know, kind of little reflections of Scripture that's not too heavy for someone to watch for an hour, you know, a video, or even the Beacon of Truth playlists. You know, the way we address songs from a perspective of faith.
Yep.
You know, that could be attractive to someone who never, hey, have you heard these guys talk about this song? I know you like this group. Here's these guys' take on this song.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be just a little seed that's planted in someone's heart that may draw them in, you know, to at least have a discussion about something of faith. You know, it's just a little bit of an opening door, but... You know, but if it's going to help, then use it. You know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, too, you know, and as we get together for the holidays, take your cues from the things that work well. So what are the food items that work well that everybody gravitated to? So when you go to these, you know, things, or if people come to your house, what are the regular things you can make? Or if it's a, you know, bring your own whatever, hey, go grab your favorite drive-thru and let's just hang out. Because again, community is what builds community. And if we're not having it, then it's even harder to engage, because then all of a sudden it's like, hey, just want to check in on you. Really? What's your motive? Like, you know, I genuinely care. Oh, okay. Well, you know, you haven't called me in a while. Like, I mean, let's do it regularly enough so it doesn't feel like a chore.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, if the pandemic taught us anything, it's the value of being together and staying in communication.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to live a life of regrets.
Right.
You know, especially during this time of year. So,
amen.
Definitely take advantage of those opportunities. All right. The topic today on Beacon of Truth is loved ones away from the church. You want to share your experience of how you've helped to evangelize someone that you love? We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. A little bit of a We Were Rocking feel there. A
little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of a little anthem. Get you rocking while you're watching the game. You get psyched up for your team.
Yeah, we need a Beacon of Truth chant to go with that. You know, that's not sure what that would be yet. So
yeah.
So send your suggestions, beacon@ewtn.com.
I'll send us that. All right. You listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and today's topic is loved ones away from the church. You know, we're getting that time of year where we're going to be having loved ones over, many of them who no longer practice faith. Even I'm talking about college students who are away, who are coming back for break to spend a little bit of holidays at home. You know, your sons, your daughters, your nephews and niece, or, you know, grandkids, whoever. That's gonna come to your house for the holidays, and you're gonna have a discussion, and they don't want to have, you know, they don't want to talk about how do you approach this topic of loved ones who are away from the church? How do you witness? How do you evangelize? How do you even bring up a topic of faith? What's the opening that you're looking for so you can bring your faith to these folks without being embarrassed or ashamed of who we are in our Catholic faith? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we celebrate today our family at Real Presence Radio. Not only have they been a part of EWTN for 20 years, but as they continue to grow, North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Wyoming, thank you for listening and supporting them over that 20 years. But a big shout out today and congratulations to Lynn and the team at Real Presence Radio from all of your friends at EWTN Radio.
It's time for us to break open God's Word in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we break open God's Word in the Book of Sung Praises, in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the Psalms that we hear at each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And remember, the Soulful Psalms section of Beacon of Truth is now its own podcast. You can go to Podcast Central at ewtn.com. You can also listen on the EWTN app, and you can Spotify or iTunes or something, whichever one, and listen to the Soulful Psalm segment as its own podcast. Today we're looking at Psalm 43. All right, Psalm 43 is in Book 2 of the Psalms, Psalms 42 to 72, and within Book 2, Psalm 42. To 49 are the sons of Korah. So remember, Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16. It says that the ground opened and Korah and his family went down alive to Sheol. The followers of Korah were swallowed up by fire from heaven. The only ones that survived were the sons of Korah, not the actual physical sons, but the followers that did not fall away. And we see that in Numbers chapter 26, verse 11. And The kora means baldness in Hebrew, and they were not only superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple, they were also caretakers and custodians of the sacred vessels and vestments that were used in the worship of God, right? So these guys are important, the sons of Korah. So 43 here does not have a prescript. It just dives in with verse 1. Give justice, give me justice, O God, and plead my cause against a nation that is faithless. From the deceitful and the cunning, rescue me, O God. Right? So the sons of Korah here find themselves in the midst of a culture that is, as St. Paul says, crooked and depraved generation, or as Jesus says in Mark's gospel, this adulterous and sinful generation. And that, quite frankly, is a generation we find ourselves in now. You know, this is nothing new. We saw this during the Babylonian exile in the book of Daniel, where King Nebuchadnezzar tried to take the youth, the Israelite youth, and to brainwash them and to re-educate them in the ways of the Chaldean gods. You know, so we see them being re-educated, right, in the Chaldean school system, so they could, and he also renamed them, right? Just like we're trying to redefine marriage and redefine gender, you know, he called the young men by different names. He took away their sacred names and gave them pagan names. And so we find ourselves in this same situation today. So the sons of Korah asking for God to plead their cause against a nation that is faithless. You know, Lord, you know, help us in this battle. Don't let our voices be silent, but rescue me from this. But don't allow me just to fall by the wayside, to fall under the spell of this confused and broken culture. He continues, "You, O God, are my strength. Now, why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe?" Right? So now it turns a little bit. So in a sense, kind of like David sometimes starts out, you know, acclaiming God, and then he gets to the problem. Okay? So the sons of Korah are doing something very similar here. He's asking for justice against a nation that's faithless from this deceitful and cunning generation. And then he says, God, you are my strength. But then he says, why have you rejected me? So all of a sudden there's a little table turn here, right? Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? So they're under oppression here, and it feels that God has abandoned them. This is a theme that we see over and over in the Psalms, the sense that God has abandoned me in my time of struggle, in my time of trial. I feel overwhelmed by the things of life right now, and I don't feel God's presence in my mind and in my heart at all. You know, the sons of Korah are experiencing this, and it feels like God's rejected them. You know, imagine getting to a point in your life where you feel you don't feel God's presence. You feel that not only is present, you feel rejected by God, right? And he said, "Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? Right, my life is just filled with sadness and dread right now, Lord. You know, Lord, come and rescue me. Come to my help. Come to my assistance." You know, I just love the honesty, you know, of the sons of Korah here. And in verse 3, "Oh, send forth your light and your truth. They will guide me on." Now, again, for me, this is pointing and looking forward to Jesus Christ, right? He goes, you know, I am the light of the world, right? He's the light that shines in the darkness, in the confusion, in the wokeness, in the brokenness. It's God that shines through his light and his truth, right? Which is one of the themes of this show, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the sons of Korah is asking the Lord to bring forth light and truth. The fullness of that light and truth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They will guide me on, right? The Lord will lead me along the straight and narrow path of salvation, right? As Isaiah says, that the Savior will make crooked ways straight. Rough roads will be made smooth. And so this roughness, this windingness that I'm experiencing in my life will be smoothed out by the Lord if we trust in him. They will bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell, right? So to the mount of the Lord, Zion, right? Which is Jerusalem, but the kind of the holy name, the heavenly Jerusalem is Zion, you know? And for us, you know, that's the church, the place of worship, the place we go to honor and worship God. But that starts from within, right? It starts with that desire for love and communion and intimacy with the Lord. Right? It starts with that desire to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. You know, that's the key. Just love that. And it continues in verse 4. And I will come to the altar of God, to God my joy and gladness. To you I will give thanks on the harp, O God, my God. Right? So I will come to the altar of God. I will come to the place of sacrifice. I will bring myself to the place of worship, to God, my joy and my gladness. See, so even in the midst of this, I can still experience joy and gladness if I stay close to the Lord. Very difficult to do sometimes when we're struggling, right? To stay close to the Lord. But the joy and gladness that the sons of Korah are experiencing are because in the midst of everything they're going through, they're bringing themselves before the Lord.
Yeah, and I've heard it numerous times. I've probably even said it a time or two. When I come to church or go to Mass, I just don't feel close to God when I go. So I'm just not going to go. Well, that's the sin. That's the things in our lives that are keeping us from him, because we don't feel like we can go to him because of the things we've done or said or not done or not said. And so if you're feeling that, then that's all the more reason you need to be there. It's all the more reason to go and engage and even prepare your heart before you go in. Because again, I can't say it enough, because I know I need it every time, is I have to prepare my heart before I walk in. I can't just show up and then, especially when I'm leading worship, because if I'm just going in without any preparation, all I'm focusing on is all the things that have to get done. They have to sound right. It has to be, you know, all the things. And again, if you're serving in your church, that's great. But preparing yourself is even more important so that you're still worshiping in your service.
Yeah, and that preparation is important, especially during those times that we don't feel like being there.
Right.
I mean, look, there's times in marriage you don't want to be married.
Yeah.
Right. There's times where you drag yourself to church that day. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not because you necessarily don't want to go. It's just like, you know, you're just not into it. Yeah. For whatever reason, you have a lot on your mind. You have something on your heart, you know, and you're there, but you're not there. You're not feeling it,
right?
You know, so to speak. But it's those times of dryness, right? That the Lord wants to give us that wellspring of His salvation,
yeah.
You know, and preparing our hearts allows us to draw more deeply from that spring.
Yeah, it's easy to find an excuse not to go. So just keep a short list of all the reasons why you need to go, and the main thing is to prepare yourself for the week ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And he finishes off verse 4, to you I will give thanks on the harp, O God, my God. There's the music again, right? The book of Psalm praises, giving thanks to the Lord on the harp, right? With song. The song that emanates, though, from our hearts, right? That beautiful worship from the heart of God. And in the last line, which is a repeat from some of the other psalms from the sons of Korah, particularly Psalm 42, the previous psalm. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God. I will praise him yet again. My saving presence and my God. Look, soul, don't worry. God's got this. You know, you may be sad and despondent right now, but we will praise him yet again because God is a God of faithfulness and fidelity. All right. We're talking about loved ones away from the church today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
High and tight.
Yep. Mm. Mm. Yeah, I love the fact that you can, if you listen close, you go hear the fingers moving over the strings.
Right.
You know?
And it's just a basic progression. Like, he's just in the box.
Yep, yep, that's right, that's right.
It's a very Motown thing to do.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Real nice groove, very simple groove, but very nice. Now see, it starts to build, right? The guitar joins in now.
Yep.
And the drums get a little funky, a little funky drummer going on.
You get the background singers, yeah!
Yeah!
Hit me one time!
Yeah, they're starting to feel it now. Oh, how awesome is that? You listen to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and today we're talking about loved ones away from the church. You know, we want to talk today about why our loved ones leave. You know, we have the holiday season coming up, and maybe you're struggling to figure out how I'm going to talk to this person that I love about the faith. You want to help to bring them back. Maybe you're away yourself. You're listening right now. You're not going to church. You know, maybe you just go out of a sense, I don't want to disappoint my parents. You just go because, you know, that'll make them happy. But you really don't have anything to do with it. We want to hear from you, too. You know, we're not here to judge you. We're here to listen. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as we talk about ways to get groups together, one way might be with a daily devotional, and one that is from our own Father Wade Menezes. It's actually in the religious catalog right now. If you want to check it out, it's called Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. He will actually also be a part of our show next week, so don't miss out next Thursday for your chance to be a little deeper into what this devotional can do for your walk and some of the questions it can answer, some of the things it can do for you as a man as you step up and lead your family. Find out more when you go to EWTNRC.com. When you buy Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
All right. We're talking today about loved ones away from the church. Maybe you're struggling with a son or a daughter or a parent, a grandchild that's away from the church. You have a college kid that's going to come home, and you're not looking forward to that discussion. You know, you're spending that money, and they're learning stuff that's taken away from the faith. Maybe you are away from the faith yourself right now, you know, and you're like, oh, gosh, I don't want to go to mom and dad's because we know that they're just going to berate us about the faith. You know, we're not here to judge. We're here to listen. You know, if you want to call, just share your experience of why you're away from the church. You know, let's talk about it. You know, if you want to share things that you've done to help get the faith across to someone that you love in your life who's away, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to get some advice on what you can do, you know, to address the situation with a loved one, we'd love to hear from you. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Carolyn is calling from Indiana, the state where I went to college, listening on EWTN.com. Carolyn, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you.
Yes, you are most welcome. How can we help you today, Carolyn?
Yes, I'm sorry. I can't quite hear you very well, so I apologize. But thank you so much for taking my call.
You're most welcome. Glad to have you today.
So my question is, for our adult children, young adults, even if they're not our children, you know, it's just the young adults maybe we know from our community or something of that nature. When we see our young adults kind of driving into the danger zone, making their, you know, choices that aren't for their good, I hear a lot of people saying, don't correct young adults because you only drive them into poor decision-making all the more. You're better off not saying anything and just hoping and praying for the best.
Yeah. Go ahead. You have more, Carolyn?
Yeah, I just really wonder, my husband and I have discussed this, and, you know, we don't feel like there was ever a point in, say, Scripture where, you know, Christ said, you know, you raise your children up and then you take a break, and then maybe when they're about 30, you know, you can start having these discussions again. You know, it's kind of that, those young adult age, you know, years. What do you recommend?
Okay, thank you so much for your question, Carolyn. Well, first of all, we have to take a look at how they got there in the first place. You know, the thing is, you know, and we hear this all the time, Carolyn, right? You hear, I don't understand. I mean, we sent them to Catholic school, and, you know, they got confirmed, and they were part of youth group, and they went to Mass every week. What happened? You know, so many young people learn about the faith. They learn things about the faith, but they're not in love. They're not in love. They don't know Jesus deeply, personally, and intimately. So their religion class or the youth group experience becomes just like math, English, science, language arts, Spanish, or whatever. And that's another subject that they're learning in school. They don't feel deeply connected to Christ at all, where they're making decisions based out of a deep, intimate, life-giving relationship with Jesus. That's what we want for our kids. But we have to model that for ourselves, right? So because most young people don't have that type of relationship, you know, we can't teach them to have that relationship. So here's a couple of things we could do. First of all, we model the behavior ourselves, right? Because especially kids, teenagers, young adults, they can spot a fake a mile away. You know that, oh yeah, you're saying this, but you're not living this yourself. So they have to see this faith being lived out with love and passion and conviction. That would be one thing. I think the other thing for the young people is to, you know, if you see them making different choices and decisions, you know, I wouldn't challenge them in the sense that you're doing it wrong, because sometimes we have to allow our kids to make mistakes so they can learn and grow from them. But I say, you know, okay, oh, you're going to make this decision. Okay. You know, you do what you want. But, well, you know, what about, have you thought about this? And just ask questions. Have you thought about this? You know, what if this? And just, you know, you're not attacking. You're not judging them. You just say, okay, well, okay, here's another way of thinking about this. You know, so again, you're not telling me, you're just giving another perspective as they're trying to make decisions. You're giving another perspective for them to think about. So they may not be open to it, but at least they're hearing it. And that could be that little seed of faith, that mustard seed that Jesus talks about. That could be the start of a conversion experience for them. They, you know, they heard you. They still may go down the road of making that mistake, but now they've heard you and they've got it in the back of their mind, right? So if things don't go the way, and why is it important for you to do that? If things don't go the way that they thought, they now have an alternative, which is what? What you planted in their mind, right? What you planted in their heart. You know, sometimes that plant has to go deep into that soil in order for it to seed to die and then grow, you know. So that's why I say, is that helpful for you, Carolyn?
Yes, I think it does. I really appreciate it. I was listening to Call to Communion just the show prior, and I heard the priest say something I never heard before, which is there a reasonable chance you will be listened to, or is there, you know, discern, will you be listened to? Is there a chance for that? And are you the right person, you know, to convey a message, for example? So I've heard of many good points today. I'm very appreciative of your show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're most welcome, Carolyn. And on that last point, you know, one of the things you could do is pray for God to bring someone else into their life besides you. You know, because often when we have a loved one, we're so close to them that we become like white noise to them. Like background noise, you know, they just like, okay, yeah, okay, you're there. I hear your voice, blah, blah, blah. You're in the background, whatever. But if they hear it from another person, maybe someone that they respect, maybe a different, the person is saying the same thing, but it's hitting their mind and their heart from a different angle, from a different perspective. So they're hearing it different because it's not you, right? So they're open. They're just not open to hearing it from you, but they're opening to hearing it from something else. I can't tell you how many times that's happened where people have contacted me and said, Deacon, I've been trying to say this and this to my son, to my daughter, da-da, but then they heard you, and all of a sudden they want to have a conversation now. So, you know, where God uses other people as that vehicle, as that catalyst, as that sower of the seed to help bring that person to a deeper, at least be open to talking and having discussions about the faith. So great call, great question, Carolyn. And please know that we're praying for you. Loved ones away from the church. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Maybe you are the one that's away from the church. You have a beef with the church and you're not practicing. We're not here to judge you. We're here to listen. We'd love to hear from you. Or maybe you're struggling to figure out what to do when the Thanksgiving's coming up. And, well, how do you approach your loved one? And how do you have discussion? But are you already getting angry and upset and everything? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Marty is calling from Houston, Texas. Listening on EW10.com. Marty, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. My concern is very similar to the last caller, except that my children don't live close. The only one that lives fairly close is the youngest, and I think she still goes to church some. I just don't know if it's a priority for her, unfortunately, and she certainly wants us to think she goes every week, but I don't want to, press her on that because it feels like I'm checking up on her and maybe I'm taking too much of a hands-off approach. But the other two, it just breaks my heart. Our middle child didn't even get married in church. They got married in a little pretty outdoor ceremony, and it was very pretty, but they had both already stopped going to church. And our oldest and her husband took the kids to church until the lockdown, and then they just got in the habit of watching Mass on TV. And when the lockdown was unlocked, then they kind of just sort of, went once in a great while and maybe would go when, but more often than not, they would just watch that on TV. And they do go with us. When we come to visit, they do go with us. But that's the situation I'm in. And I get, the one I'm obviously most devastated about is our middle child, a daughter, and she and her husband don't practice at all.
Yeah, well, it sounds, Marta, you're in a better situation than some people. At least some of your children are going some of the time. There are so many people that have the experience of with your middle child and his wife, but they're not going at all. That's the situation for a lot of people. So, you have hope for the other kids. They're at least making an effort or at least saying they're making the effort to go. For that middle child, that's the hard one, And I know your heart is broken and we're angry. And, I don't understand why they're not going. They're not going, Marty, because they don't know Jesus. They don't. They don't know him deeply, personally, intimately. They don't know the why of the faith. Well, what difference does going to Mass make? I could just be a good person. Well, I don't understand. We go there with all these people I don't know. And for what reason? I don't see the purpose in that. So they need to see and to understand that our faith is all about relationship. It's all about intimacy and communion, which is what the human heart longs for. What their understanding of the faith is, well, the Catholic Church hates gay people. The Catholic Church is against, transgender people. No, we love everyone, but we always don't love their actions, and we judge actions. We never judge people. And so once they understand that our faith is about intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion, and how the Eucharist is the center of that life of relationship and communion, what the Eucharist is, why Jesus gave it to us, and what it has to do with their life every day. You know, it sounds like they bought hook, line, and sinker into the culture, you know, which is the easy way, that the wide way that Jesus talks about. He says the road to heaven is narrow and very few will find it. The road to destruction is wide, and that's the road that so many people are on. And so in that situation, Marty, you know, for your middle child, like I mentioned before, pray that God brings someone else into their life besides you, for one. Two, you know, you might send them a YouTube video, you know, like maybe one of, I have 1800 videos on my YouTube channel. Maybe there's something there that they might be interested in that, you know, that brings a different perspective to the faith. You can also pray and fast for them as well. Fasting, everybody prays for their kids, but fasting is a powerful, powerful combination with prayer. Jesus says, when you fast, not if, when you fast. In fact, Jesus says some demons can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. So I think those are some things that you can do straight away. Is that helpful for you at all, Marty?
Oh, it is. I would like to elaborate a little more on the fasting part, because I know there are different ways to approach
yes.
it. I happen to be somebody that can go a long time between meals and not miss it. And I kind of think the idea is to be sacrificing something. So
yes,
if there's like a book that you could recommend or an article or something like that, I just think I could use a little guidance in that.
Yeah, yeah. So just real quick, the idea of fasting, yes, you can fast from food, right? That's kind of the traditional way that we fast, but we can also get creative. What about fasting from something that you enjoy? Like, for example, say, Marty, say you like, I don't know, Dancing with the Stars, or you have a favorite television show that you just look forward to watching every week. How about not watching that show for a month? Just take a fast from that show. And like, for example, I brought this up at a talk once, Marty, and some people, like, I said, don't watch football for a month. And they freaked out. They were like, oh, we can't do that. Oh, I said, wait a minute. You're not willing to sacrifice something. I'm going to say, you know, watching TV, football is good. That's fine. But you're not willing to sacrifice something that you enjoy for your children's soul? You're not willing to fast from this thing that you enjoy for the sake and the life of your children? Oop, that brings it to a whole different perspective. See, because when you fast, there's a, like, the, when you fast from food, that empty stomach, that growling stomach is a physical reminder, that longing, that yearning. When you fast from television, that desire, oh, I'm missing it right now, that urgency, that those are all physical reminders of what we're really hungering for and thirsting for and longing for is a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And when that desire, that fasting is united with prayer, lights out. So what I would do, Marty, is go to EW10.com, and I would go to, they have a library. Just type in fasting, and I'm sure there's some amazing resources there for fasting. Thank you so much, Marty, for the call. Love to hear from you. We're talking about Kids Away from the Church Day on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Maureen is driving through Arizona, listening on the EWTN app. Maureen, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Why, thank you, good sir. I was raised in the Catholic Church, cradle Catholic, pre-Vatican, and I went to a Catholic school where I got literally beat up by some of the nuns. Mm. So I had a bad taste for Catholicism, and then my parents were dyed-in-the-wool Catholics, and my mother was not diplomatic when she would disagree with me about things. And so because of that, I became very alienated from the church, and I left when I was 16. My parents thought I was going to church, that I was riding my bike, but instead I rode up to the Dunkin' Donuts and stopped on the way, not Krispy Kreme, they weren't around them. And I did, I would pick up a bulletin on the way home, and so they thought I went to church. So I stayed away for 38 and a half years.
Wow.
And what happened was I was working in Marquette, Michigan, and the highest peak in the city, the highest building, is the cathedral. So I was walking around the city to learn the city, and I walked in, and I ended up in the crypt with the bishops. And just by being in there and the majesty of the whole, the ambience, and the beauty of the structure, the Hound of Heaven sunk his teeth in, and I came back 14 years ago.
Wow. What a beautiful story. You know, one of the things, Maureen, that I love what you said is how, you know, we talk about these things called the transcendentals, right? Truth, goodness, and beauty. And for you, it was beauty that brought you back. After the experience with the nuns, and, you know, I'm so sorry about that. I mean, I myself was slapped a few times by the sisters, as well. But, I mean, so I'm sorry for that experience. But I'm so grateful that God has brought you back through the use of beauty. Because beauty speaks to that part of our heart that maybe sometimes words can't express what our hearts feel. So I thank you so much, Maureen, for your call. We're talking about Kids Away from the Church. It's a Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Kids Away from the Church today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. Xenia on YouTube is pointing us to Proverbs 22, verse 6, that says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Right? It's always good to go to the scriptures. Thank you so much, Xenia, for that. And we have Antoinette calling from Metairie, Louisiana. I've been there before, listening on Catholic Community Radio. Antoinette, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you for taking my call.
Most welcome.
I am a cradle Catholic, and during the lockdown, I'm 68 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm in good health. But during the lockdown, I got in the habit of not going to church. And then after the lockdown was lifted, not this past Lent, but the Lent before, mm-hmm. instead of giving something up, I was going to go to church every day for Lent. Well, my third day going to church, I got COVID. Mm. So I haven't been back to church. I haven't been to confession since not this past Lent, but the Lent before. And I tried. We have so many Catholics in this part of Louisiana that the clergy is spread so thin. I tried to get, you know, some spiritual counseling from my local pastor, and it was like, you know, they don't have time. You know, they're saying masses at three different churches, and I just want to know what is the best thing for me to do to try to get myself back to where I belong.
Yeah, yeah. So one thing I would do is have a sit down and have a conversation with the pastor of the church. And just share what you just shared with me, you know, and head back to confession, you know, for one. And second, Eucharistic adoration. You know, spending that time with the Lord, being in his presence, you know, makes all the difference in the world. And you can say, well, you may be saying to yourself, Antoinette, well, I could pray anywhere. What difference is going and praying before Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament, exposed in the monstrance? What difference does that make? Well, it's always better to be in the presence of the person that you love when you're talking to them, right? And God's heart is ever open. His loving, merciful, sacred heart is always open to listening to our hearts, Antoinette. And so I would go to your adoration and attempt to unite your heart with the sacred heart of Jesus. And just go there and listen. You know, open your heart. Share with him your frustrations. Share with him your challenges. And let God speak to you. Let him speak to your heart. Let him speak to your life. When you go to Mass and you listen to God's word, ask yourself, what is God saying to me right now in and through his word? Make it personal, right? Because God is speaking to your life, the situation, to your needs, Antoinette. So thank you so much for your beautiful call. And please know that we're praying for you. And Brenda is calling also from Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Radio. Brenda, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, how are you? Okay,
doing well.
It's good to hear from you, Deacon. Okay. Real quick, I commend you on saying that actions speak louder than words, yes. And when we're trying to lure someone back, not lure, but we want to attract them back to the church when someone comes home from school, you gotta use all the resources that you can.
That's
right. You got to invite the... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
You got to use all the resources that you can possibly use. Invite the clergy over that's going to, you know, become friends with the clergy in your parish. Ask them, oh, so you're at this new college. Okay, well, tell me, who's the clergy over there? Have you heard any of his homilies? You know, just because you don't, you only eat Chinese food doesn't mean you have to go to the same restaurant.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brenda. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralewtn.com/radio. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.